Hi, and welcome to episode 65 of the Dinner Sisters podcast. We're two sisters taking on the nightly challenge of dinner. I'm Kate Schultz, living and working in Rhode Island. I'm a passionate cook and recipe collector, always thinking about my next meal.
And I'm Betsy Wallace. I live, work, and raise a family in Atlanta, Georgia. I love dinner time, but can always use help planning and cooking for my family of five.
Yeah, so our goal with this podcast, we want to cook a little better, learn a little bit about food, and most importantly, figure out what the heck to have for dinner. So here's how this works. Like every week, we have three recipes that we cooked and reviewed from popular food blogs, internet chefs, and other sources on the World Wide Web. We have all these recipes, tips, the smorgasbord, and a shopping list that I make every week, so you don't even have to figure out what to buy. It's just there. That's all on our website at dinnersisters.com. You can also get them sent directly to your inbox by subscribing to our newsletter. If you'd like to preview the recipes, I also put in fun other recipes that I just think are cool, fun gifts, you know.
That's great. It's packed full of goodness.
Packed full of goodness. That's how I like to say it. Yeah. All right, what are we cooking this week, Betsy?
All right, so this week's recipes were fish tacos by Cooking Classy, Vegan Satan Carne Asada Tacos by The Curious Chickpea, and Korean Beef Tacos by Damn Delicious.
Okay, so no prize if you guess this theme this week because it's too easy, frankly. Mm-hmm. But this episode's inspiration is actually from my partner, James. Bessie, he loves tacos so much, and we've had conversations about tacos more than, I don't know, like a lot. Mm-hmm. He travels. I feel like he always goes to taco destinations. He's always mm-hmm. going to like Austin and San Diego. And he'll just like text me in the middle of the day at like 2, because it'll be San Diego time, right? Mm-hmm. And, like 3 o'clock my time. And he'll be like, just out here on the patio having some fish tacos, which is nice.
Nice. Yeah. Lucky nice him.
To hear. Lucky him. But he loves himself a taco. So I thought we'd do this episode.
Let's just jump in, Kate. What do we have first?
Yeah, so first we have fish tacos by Cooking Classy. Mm-hmm. And these were inspired by James's trips to San Diego, where he mm-hmm. texts me, like I said, about fish tacos constantly. So to be clear, these aren't super authentic from my research, because it seems like a lot of those fish tacos are kind of deep fried. But mm-hmm. I just like could not do the battering and deep frying in my little apartment. It's like a lot. And I figure something like that, go out and get it, have fun. But you can still have the fresh taste of a delicious fish taco with this recipe. So for this one, you marinate tilapia or a light white fish in some lime, garlic, cumin, paprika, and chili powder. You cook it up quickly on the stove in a grill pan, or you can do it in your backyard grill. Flake it up and pile it into a corn tortilla with some avocado, the fish taco sauce, and I'll tell you what that is, and her slaw. So the taco sauce was like dead easy. Sour mm-hmm. cream, mayo, lime juice, and a little garlic powder. Mix it all up. It loosens up a little bit, and it's this delicious kind of like sauce. And the slaw is also super easy. Finely sliced red cabbage, red onion, and cilantro that you toss with lime juice and a little bit of canola oil. And again, came together relatively quickly for the slaw and for everything else, actually. Mm-hmm. And it was tasted so fresh, which is really, really nice. This made a lot of slaw, mm-hmm. but I didn't mind. So how did your family like these, Betsy?
I really liked these, Kate. And I will say every time we make a slaw, like a side of slaw that goes in something, it's like you have slaw for weeks.
I know.
And it's always, I love it.
Right. And it always, too, is like only half the head of cabbage. But you're like, cabbage. It's just like, I don't know what happens when you slice it up. But I agree.
It just multiplies. And I really liked how this one was kind of very weeknight doable. So I just did it in my saute pan, honestly, because I don't have a grill pan and I don't have the grill at this house. And so I thought that was totally fine. You know, it's a very weeknight friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got a grill pan because James bought me one as a present. I use it all the time, which is really, I really love it. But not necessary, for sure. And these are like you said, these are really fresh. These are healthy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And fish is like, I always forget to marinate things. So it's kind of nice to marinate a fish, because that doesn't take, you don't want to over marinate it, right? Because you get like a ceviche. You don't want to grill that up, right? So, you know, they were just delicious. It worked with tilapia. I think I made these with some haddock that was on sale. I think you could be kind of flexible, just adjust your cooking time to cook the fillet all the way through. With the slaw and the avocado, it was a complete dinner. I didn't serve this with anything else.
Yeah, I didn't either. We definitely just had the slaw, the avocado, that little drizzle sauce is always good. I'm liking, we've had a couple of these now, these kind of like mayo or sour cream with a little bit of something else squeezed in there. That makes, these are so easy and I'm really loving them as little side drizzle sauces. And I like this one too. Yeah.
I agree. It's one of those cases where I think if we weren't making the recipe for the podcast, we might skip the sauce and be like, eh. But you know, guys, make the sauce. It takes 2 seconds and then you feel really fancy because you have a sauce for dinner.
Yeah, it's funny how you feel after you've mixed something into your mayo. You're like, surely this won't be that good. And you're like, oh, yeah. Yum.
Yeah, so this is a 4 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 for me, too. I liked these. I think we'll use this again. And definitely fish tacos in my future. All right. Next up, Kate. The recipe is vegan Satan Carne Asada Tacos by the Curious Chickpea. Tell us about these.
Right. So we do a fair amount of vegetarian recipes on our podcast, but not a lot of truly vegan ones. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let's do that. This sounded like a great chance to do so because, you know, tacos, man. Satan, in case you aren't familiar, is a meat substitute made out of wheat gluten, right? So it's a whole process. But I would describe it as like a fairly neutral tasting, right? With a bit of a springier texture than tofu. And you can find it in the same refrigerator section that your tofu is located. It's usually like right next to it. Just like take that extra look. And you, if you've never looked for it before, and it will be right there. I can promise you. It may be in chunks. It may not be in steaks. But get something that's not flavored for this recipe. But for this recipe, like, you just marinate the seitan in this mojo sauce. She calls it of ancho chilies, chipotle pepper, an adobo sauce, cilantro, orange juice, lime juice, olive oil, apple cider vinegar, soy sauce, brown sugar, and cumin. It is quite the marinade. And you marinate it for a couple hours or overnight. And if you have seitan steaks, which I did not, you can grill them. If you had chunks like I did, you can saute them on the stove until almost blackened. And the tacos are the carne asada seitan, vegan queso fresco, and then pico de gallo in a corn tortilla. And I am not vegan, so I opted for a little sour cream instead of the vegan queso fresco. You know?
Yeah. I think that's legit.
But you definitely can do that. So how did you like these, Betsy?
Okay, Kate, time for what Betsy did. This is the recipe. However, I think it might be a useful shortcut. So
okay, great.
So Kate has this scheduled out, and we usually cook a few weeks before we record. So this will be airing kind of early June, but we cooked this kind of right in the middle of my end of school year. May dance recitals, all of that kind of thing. And when I had read that she was using, like, it was a mojo sauce, I thought, ooh, I can get that at the grocery store.
Oh, man.
I did. And then I thought, you know what?
Okay.
Ina Garten, who always says store-bought is fine, would probably support me. I'm not sure about the whole sauce, Kate, but I just couldn't do it. So I bought myself a mojo sauce from the Whole Foods. So it's a good one. And I just did it. So I feel like, you know, I can't really comment on the sauce very well, but I think if you wanted to maybe introduce your family to more vegetarian options or more vegan options, or you're not going to control, I guess, the ingredients in the sauce, so that you'd have to look for the vegan issues. But if you just thought, like, I want to make some vegetarian chopped tacos, I want to get us out of our rut, I want to experiment with this alternate protein, which I think is all good things.
Agreed.
With these flavors. Yeah. That is maybe a shortcut that could get you here faster. It is not the recipe.
I just honestly,
but I did it, and I just have to be honest about it because, I mean,
Betsy, if I could predict where your shortcuts were going to come from, like what I just can never predict it, right?
Oh,
I
find it really
amazing. Oh yeah, I can never. I'm like, will she just not choose to make the marinade? I have no idea.
Yeah. And we talk
but you know
a
what?
Lot.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I feel like we talk a lot during the week and things, and I just never tell you what I actually did so that it can be a surprise on the podcast.
Also, it really is. Guys, if you think that I'm like making up this laughing, no, this is the first time I've heard of this. I just channeled Ina Garten, Kate.
Well, and that person who's cooking all of her recipes, you know, he's always saying store-bought is fine.
That's also true.
So anyways, that's what I did on this one.
How did you like the flavor?
So we kind of liked this flavor, and we love the fact that it's vegetarian. Yeah. We really liked using the alternate protein. It made me wonder if I could use more store-bought marinades and just kind of like have this be a thing we do. Which I kind of liked that sort of experiment here. I can't say that I can comment necessarily on this specific marinade, but you can. However, I will say the mojo sauce generally, if you just want to just pick one of those up and go for it, that might work for you.
Yeah. So since I made it and know what went in it, Betsy, I will explain the mojo sauce.
You can have your superior moment here. Go on, tell us.
So I would say it's kind of punchy tasting. I wouldn't describe it as like super spicy, but like punchy, right? Flavorful. Yeah. I loved in this recipe, it had a little sweetness from the orange juice and brown sugar, and that helped the seitan bits kind of caramelize on the stove, which was super delicious. If you do end up making the marinade, I will say, don't do what I did. So ancho peppers usually come whole, and you're supposed to soften them on the stove before you kind of chop them up and then blend them. And the recipe does.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're like whole. And you can get them at Penzi's Spices, which is kind of fun. Or I've seen them in better supermarkets.
God, Kate, I definitely would not have done that. I'm so glad I went for the marinade. I'm like, oh, interesting.
You didn't even read the recipe for the marinade. You're just like, nope.
No, it was like dance recital, dance rehearsal, book float parade. You had a lot. Everything. I just went for the sauce.
I remember talking to you that week, and it was crazy.
It was crazy. So keep going. Yes. So you soaked these
specialty order pepper seeds. Oh, my gosh. Stop.
Keep going, Kate. What else did you do?
You toast the peppers on the stove a little bit, just in a dry pan, to soften them. And I saw, remove the seeds. And I was like, how hard could the seeds really be? Turns out they're like little bullets in your marinade.
Ooh, okay.
So if you remove the seeds as best you can, they were not delicious. And I regret not taking the step of removing the seeds. I actually thought to myself, this is a total Betsy moment.
And you didn't know that I wasn't even making the marinade at all.
I know. Turns out you like you went beyond. Anyway, I didn't even marinate these for 2 hours. I did it for like an hour, and I felt like the seitan was perfectly delicious. So, you know, but it would last overnight. So if you're the type of person that's like, I can pull things together at night and then I have it for the next day, like do that. It'll work. It'll be totally fine. I just didn't remember. These were so good. And I am definitely putting these on a mental list for things to make vegetarian guests or if I want like a vegetarian lunch throughout the week. I think people would love it. The seitan was really good. I liked that it was a different protein than tofu, which I feel like is kind of a fallback.
Yep.
And it was pretty delicious. 4 out of 5 for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you can comment on like the concept.
Yeah. The concept is definitely a 4 out of 5 for me. I will make it again. I also appreciated experimenting with this different protein. So that was great. All right. So our last recipe this week is Korean beef tacos by Damn Delicious.
So I love Korean food, love tacos, win-win. Plus, Korean tacos were one of the like those food trends a while back due to some very creative food trucks in California. So as like a food nerd, do you remember hearing about these like Korean tacos?
I do.
Right?
Yes.
I felt like they were a thing. I think they're still a thing, right? Because they're delicious. And in this case, you don't have to stand in line to get them, which is my least favorite thing about a food truck is that you order food and then you stand outside for about 30 years for your food to come.
Yeah.
I get really hungry. I get a little hangry. Anyway, this one, you just have to make them, right? You start by browning a 1/2 pound of ground beef. You add in soy sauce, ginger, pepper, brown sugar, a little sesame oil, and garlic, and you just cook it until it's thick. Meanwhile, you just get another pan going, saute some kimchi up with a bit of sugar so it like caramelizes. And then the sauce on top of the taco is sriracha mayonnaise, which you and I talked about, like, how delicious could something with mayonnaise be?
So delicious. I'm in for all the mayo-based sauces now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Me too. Again, you just make a taco, right? Taco shells, pile in the meat, add a little kimchi, a little bit of sauce on top. You can also add a bit of chopped red onion, cilantro, and sesame seeds to garnish. So, you know, how'd this go, Betsy?
So I really liked these flavors, and I loved how easily it came together kind of on the stovetop. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like a very easy weeknight. I'm kind of starting from nothing, and I get these amazing Korean tacos. Kind of what we talked about. You don't have to marinate anything beforehand.
Right.
It just kind of all comes together, which is nice some nights. My kids didn't eat the kimchi. It was too spicy, the one that I had gotten. My kids didn't really eat the kimchi, but Ryan and I were surprised how good that was.
Wasn't it so good?
It was so good. We were both that. Thought it was just delicious, and it was a little made, bit sweet, caramely kimchi.
Yeah. Mm. I could have made double that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So good.
Yeah. And I thought the flavors were interesting, but it wasn't too complicated. And Kate, I was really thinking, if you are wanting to experiment with kimchi, but you haven't before because you're a little nervous or you don't really know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I would recommend this recipe. I thought that was really, because the ground beef makes it really accessible. If you have someone in your family who's maybe not like super adventurous, it has some nice flavors to it, but it's a familiar sort of thing, right? Ground beef tacos.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kimchi sort of just takes it to that next sort of global flavors level.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I kind of struggle with like, what should I do with kimchi? Because it's not a food we grew up eating. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple like local kimchi makers. I don't know if you have that in Atlanta at all, but there are folks that are like making their own fermented foods locally. And so it's such a great thing to be able to purchase from them. I actually wish I made a whole pound of hamburger with this. Kate, just for the two of us.
I will tell you, you know what I did with this, which is so funny.
Mm.
Ryan said, I don't know if, because he's always trying to offer some crazy opinions. Because he'll say, it seemed like it took you a really long time to make this. So I'm not really sure if it took that long, if the flavors are worth the effort. And he's trying to do this like weird calculus, which doesn't make any sense. And I said, I actually made the normal portion, but I had more ground beef because I'd bought a bulk package. And I went back and just sort of made it again so I would have leftovers because it's that quick, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't, and I really wasn't doing anything else that night. We were home. We were just kind of hanging out.
It is super quick.
It's super quick. And I thought, I'm just going to make the rest of this up because I'll eat it for lunches. I should have doubled this in the first place. And so I was like, okay, Ryan, with all your opinions, what you actually were thinking the whole time I was cooking, that was a double, like I had made it from start to finish almost twice in the time that you thought it took to make once. So, I would agree. I mean, I regretted not doing it a double batch of this, which I should have done in the first place, but I just went ahead and made it all again. Don't do it that way, but definitely double it up.
Yeah. And I think you just get a bigger skillet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Double this puppy up. I put the half pound of hamburger, because it's like a half pound of hamburger for two people is like enough. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's not eat all the beef in the world. Right.
Yeah.
Neither one of our cholesterol should have that. And then literally 5 days later, I made it again. And James ate just as much, you know, so it was so good. This is a 5 out of 5 for me. And I would even make the meat portion again. Right. Like for a topping for rice. Like, let's not go taco. Like go the traditional accompaniment with Korean food, which would be the rice. Right. Or maybe like a Korean beef taco salad kind of situation where you just have it over lettuce and some veggies. So I think the kimchi would be so good in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a 5 out of 5 for me. I'm going to make this. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Wrapping it up, Betsy. My favorite. I mean, we just said it, but it was Korean tacos, hands down.
Yeah. Me too. Me too.
Yeah. Right. If any of these recipes sound good to you, make sure to check out our show notes and that grocery list at dinnersisters.com. We've got links to everything that we talked about, a shopping list spreadsheet, and if you want to chat with us more, you can just ask to join our Dinner Sisters Facebook group. We are at Dinner Sisters Podcast. Make sure you put everything in there. There is another Dinner Sisters out there. I'm sure they're lovely, but they're not us. So you've got to put in the whole Dinner Sisters Podcast thing. Join our Facebook group. We talk about a lot in there. It's super fun. And we'd love to have you.
Kate, I have one last little thing I need to mention. which is I remade the Nom Nom Paleo Instant Pot Carnitas.
Ooh.
Yes, that I said I would make. And shout out to Nancy because I finally did this and I know she's been waiting. And they were amazing. I will add to the taco episode. We'll put that link in the show note.
Yes.
That is a really fantastic recipe. I finally did it correctly.
I'm so glad.
Oh, and we relief. Should just, what a relief. We will kind of do a roundup maybe of all of our tacos that we've done so far. But that was one that I did incorrectly. Yes. Now I've done correctly. I will enthusiastically recommend with the rest of the world who has made this correctly. And thank you for remembering and reminding me to do that, Nancy, because I finally did it. It was fantastic.
Yay. Yeah, we'll do a taco roundup. That's super fun. We've done a bunch of tacos it'll be a taco retrospective.
Love that, Kate.
Yeah.
All right. Smorgasbord this week. What are we doing here? We're rolling out a Dinner Sisters first.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A summer stretch. That's what we're calling it.
Yeah,
so,
love it.
You and I are each going to take on a project for June, July, and August, and we'd like you to come along. So summer, I feel like it is like an endless possibility. Memorial Day is coming on, got the summer in front of us, and then you get to September and wonder where the heck it went. So one way that you and I talk about making things more meaningful is to have like a fun project, right? A little goal, a little something fun to do to kind of mark the time. This is a special time. And Betsy, you and I are going to pick a project for June and August individually. Then for July, which is our week in Wisconsin, we're going to do a project together. And we think you should all should join us.
Yeah, I think this is going to be really fun. So this is something we can do. You can email us. You can be in the Facebook group. But we can all share our summer stretch goals or projects. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be really fun. So we can do check-ins each month on the podcast, talk about what we're up to in the Facebook group, like I said. And if you haven't done that, now's the time. Kate,
yes.
What are your June and August challenges? Let's start with your June one.
Okay, so June is a bit of a tricky month for me this year. I'm traveling a bit for work and then out to Oregon for our other sister's graduation, which is so exciting. So I was thinking of something that might take a bit of time.
Okay.
I'm terrified about this. I don't know if I can fit it in. It's already like really, really close.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Oh, boy.
I think I can do this.
Okay.
Because it's got to sit. I mean, this is like huge. It's making me a little anxious. Mm-hmm. But I've always wanted to try making it. I may have to hide it from James but like I've done that before. That's what closets are for. Right. And it feels like a good project for summer. Like who doesn't want it, like a delightfully fizzy drink, right?
Yes, yes. So, I'm excited about this for you.
Yeah. So what's your June project?
So we are going to try and spend a lot of time up at the cabin this June.
Oh, fun.
You know, we're kind of light on cooking, like the cooking situation up there. So I thought we could make explore the realm of popsicles and frozen treats because, you know,
fun.
All of these things come out over the summer where all these publications and different websites are like, you should make this kind of popsicle and that kind of, you know, ice cream and all that kind of stuff.
I feel like Smitten Kitchen has a breakfast popsicle, Betsy.
Yum. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yes. Is the whole world of frozen treats. So my June project is to just really dive into that a little bit and see if we can find some that we love.
That's such a great idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, our July project is a joint project, which I just, like, love. And it makes my sentimental heart go pitter-pat, which is we're going to do a big backyard party when we're all in Wisconsin. And we'll have more details on that whenever we figure out what that party is going to be like. Themes, who knows?
Yeah, that'll be fun. And then we can do some reporting on some big batch potluck kind of things and batch cocktails and like larger cook for a crowd recipes, which we don't normally do. So that'll slot in really nicely with that. And I like that. Okay, so my August goal is going to be finding my signature cocktail, Kate.
That's fun.
I think it's fun. That. Notice how all of mine are no cook. I'm like, I cannot do any more than what I'm doing for this podcast.
I love it.
However, there are other things that I would like to explore. So I think my signature cocktail will probably be gin-based because I love gin.
I do love a gin.
So I'm going to kind of experiment in that family of cocktails because currently I just make myself a gin and tonic with lime, which I'm very, very happy with. However,
I'm going to
just dive into that in August, see if I can find something. What's yours?
I love that idea. So my August project is no cook, but it's making something that I love for summer, which is ice cream.
Yeah.
And I love to make it, but I feel like summer is like the best time for that, right? And I've got a David Leibowitz cookbook that's got like a whole bunch of like interesting sorbets, some of which are alcohol based, some of which aren't. And I think that'd be so fun this summer. So I want to kind of make sure I make it when it's like hot out and you have that hot, you know, hot weather and cold ice cream. So good.
Do you have the Jenny's ice cream book too?
I do. Yeah. My friend Allison gave that to me years ago and I love it.
Yeah. So you have lots of resources for this.
I do. Yeah. I have all these cookbooks and then now I want to use them.
Yeah. All right. So make sure you join us in the Facebook group this summer and we'll talk about our summer projects. June, July, August, pick three. And we look forward to hearing all about it.
Yeah. And if you do end up posting on Instagram, tag us at the Dinner Sisters use the hashtag summer stretch and we will find you that way.
Coming up, we have summer herbs.
I mean, I have a very like struggling little pot of herbs on my urban patio garden. And so, or I can go to the farmer's market. And so I'm definitely looking forward to finding some new ways to use up all those huge bunches of fresh herbs that you see at this time of year. You know, like those huge bunches of cilantro and a big thing of parsley. I can't wait to try them out.
Yeah, so that's what's for dinner this week. See you next time on The Dinner Sisters. We'll save a spot at the table for you.
Would you like a little dinner in your inbox every week? Subscribe to our newsletter by going to our website at dinnersisters.com. We've got all sorts of things in there. And if you have some dinner ideas, you can always send us an email at dinnersisterspodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. Lastly, biggest favor, if you like what you're hearing, please review and subscribe. We read all of the reviews and then text each other about them because we love them so much. So thank you for doing that. If you have, thanks again and happy eating.